February the 23rd, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talk, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. So the Quran, Surah 33, Ayat 5. The child called by their father's name. The Quran, Surah 8, Ayat 75, family has rights. Telling a child he has no father walks the development. I hear some say, he never had a father. I said, that is impossible. He had a father and many mothers. They will not tell their child that they had a father, saying, he was no good. I'm not even going to mention him to my son. And they will tell the child, you do not have a father. Every human being, every living thing had a mother and a father. And we should not ever tell them that. It puts confusion and burden on their souls and psyche. And it will warp their development many times. It will deform their spiritual, mental, psychological development, the psyche. So do not tell them that. They hear other children and know that everybody else has a father. That is a great burden on them if you say you had no father. They all had a father. I do not care if he was a murderer, a rapist who raped you. Still he had a father. Don't tell him he did not have a father. Say, you had a father, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw fit to keep him out of your life. He would have been bad for you, or he was not the kind of person that would make you a good father. But acknowledge that there was, even if he was a criminal, you are supposed to acknowledge his name in Al-Islam. You are supposed to say, so-and-so is your father. When the child is out of your charge, he should be able to make his decision for himself as to whether he wants to see his father or be of himself, his life, is more important than personal feelings and stuff. They have rights to human life. The right to human life is also the right to a father and a mother. And to know that you had a father and a mother, even though one of them or both of them are bad people. Faith in human essence, not self. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, Prophet, closer to believers than themselves. So if the Imam had said faith in the common essence of all human beings, faith in the common essence of all human beings, the essence that God created, that essence is typified in Prophet Muhammad. So when we say faith in Prophet Muhammad, we are saying faith in the human being, the human being as he should be. So we are not all as we should be. We have to have one amongst us that stands for what we all should be. Then we have faith in that one. You see, and faith in that one will motivate us towards being what we all should be. We will get closer and closer to that acceptable model that Almighty God approves. God approves Prophet Muhammad. He is the acceptable model. So Prophet is the human in his perfection. So we have faith in Prophet Muhammad, and not merely because of his essence, his humanism. That's why I say there's still a problem even if we put it in that way. It's not faith because of his human essence alone. It is faith because now the human essence has been blessed with divine revelation. We have faith in Prophet Muhammad because he really is us in our perfection. But he is more than that. He is us in our perfection with the revelation from God. We do have faith in a human being. Pardon me. We don't have faith in a human being simply because he is true to his essence. Okay, human essence earns revelation. So we have faith in the human being because now he has received the guidance from God. It is not my essence that delivered me, brothers. My essence, if I remain true to my essence brings me to become worthy of God's favor. If I be true to what God has made me, and God has made me a Muslim, if I be true to my nature, to my essence that God has made, and yield my will to him, become a faithful person, then God will reward that with the blessings of inspiration. If I'm truly worthy, and if it is his will, he will bless that particular human essence with revelation. The Quran Surah 33, Ayah 6, Prophet closer to believer than own selves. The Quran Surah 18, Ayah 110, Prophet human mortal like you. So faith in the common essence of all human beings that God created, although that's still a problem because that's not the way we are supposed to say it. The essence is typified in Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. When we say faith in Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, we are saying faith in the human being as he should be. We are not all as we should be. We have to have one amongst us that stands for what we all should be. Then we have faith in that one. So God approved Muhammad. He is the acceptable model. And not merely because of his essence, his humanism is not faith because of his human essence alone. It's faith because now the human essence has been blessed with divine revelation. So we have faith in Prophet Muhammad because he is really us in our perfection. But he is more than that. He is us in our perfection with the revelation from God. So we don't have faith in a human being simply because he's true to his essence. We have faith in a human because now he has received the guidance from God. It is not my essence that delivered me, brothers. My essence, if I remain true to my essence brings me to become worthy of God's favor. If I be true to what God has made me, and God has made me a Muslim, if I be true to my nature, to my essence that God has made, and yield my will to him, become a faithful person, then God will reward that with the blessings of inspiration, not revelation. If I'm truly worthy and it is his will, he will bless that particular human essence with revelation. Prophet Muhammad said he is a human like you, meaning that he is no superhuman being. He is a common human, not out of the human essence, in the human essence, not above the human plane, on the human plane, with all other humans. What rises him up to the position of leadership, it is his willingness and nature to conform to the very nature that God created for human beings. Then receive the blessings of revelation from Almighty God. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, family, has rights, Prophet closer to the believers. Get my wife a Mercedes. Get plenty of women, plenty of spending money. Man, I'm in heaven. But truthfully, he is just another foolish heart. Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, said, no one of you can become believers until your desire goes after what I have come to you with. Desires are expressions of the heart. Now, what are desires? Desires are expressions of the heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There is also another saying, when a man's heart is where a man's heart is, there will he be also. So if your heart is in show off with those things that cause you to lose the stable, the basic life, then that is where you are. So when we say we love our family, and yet we spend most of our time chasing show of this world, we are fooling ourselves. If you love your family, you will be building up your family. That is if the above saying of the scriptures are correct, and I believe they are. If you truly love your family, you are deceiving yourself when you do such things. A foolish heart will deceive you. Actually, you don't really love your family. If you did, you would be spending your resources on building up your family life and not on making a show. Importance of family life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that family ties have the first rights before God in the book of obedience, in the book of his command. He has established the family rights and family relationships. Comes before other matters. So this is where the African-American has gone wrong. The cohesiveness and unity of African families was destroyed when we were brought to America and put in slavery. So when we were freed after centuries of enslavement, our objective should have been to restore healthy family life, healthy relationships between family members, respect for mama, for papa, for the grandparents, for the elderly, for the young, and healthy respect by the parents for their children. We should have set our eyes on the future with the family welfare in mind, because that is what was destroyed. But the devil defeated us. He went to work, and we never got around to rebuilding our broken family life. He dangled before our hungry eyes the attractive things of this world. He raised in us the desire for better clothing, more money, better transportation, for another pretty wife, etc. Neglect of the family is a shortcoming in the African-American community. 55% of our children are born to teenagers. 50% of homes without fathers, and 42% of households are held by a female. There are more single parent families amongst the African American, proportionately, than among any other group. There are also more diverted wives, diverted children, and mistreated husbands. Often the husband has few of any rights. Now, we know that there is a few African Americans who have beautiful model families. They are not spending all of their monies on outside, superficial, and glamorous things just to show off. They live a modest life, putting money up for their future to the young generations. Generations will have better starts than they had. Though there are some families doing that, they are very hard to find. But many of those have met, the many of those that I have met who are doing this are very selfish. They wouldn't give another man's child a peanut. So we need to reestablish healthy family concerns. We must also understand that families make up races, and nations. In other words, the family effects must be extended so that it complements and strengthens the entire race. You must take into account the need of your race when you educate your children. Right now, we have people who want to follow the trend. They want to train all of our children for computers. Some want to train all of them for government jobs. We could have all of them in government jobs and computers, and the life of the race will still be neglected. Financial resources needed. We should let the need of our race decide what field we should pursue. We don't have to look all over the United States to decide what we need to be doing. Look around you and you will probably find a good sample of what we need all over this earth. We don't have financial forces, and this we need. All we have are welfare and a car to be punched by a clock. What we need are the same things the man has who is dictating our life to us. We need money, some financial sources that we can go to ourselves, just like the ones he can go to. He has more than the welfare and a car to punch. I don't have to pray all day to see what we need to do. It is very clear. We must use common sense and get the things other people have who are in strong positions. If we don't, then we are accepting weak positions. Some people claim that all we need are more jobs, that we need to get more opening in the government. Today, many believe that all we need is to get into computers. Getting into computers is nothing but another clock to punch, another promise. It is only going to last as long as that interest is high. As soon as that interest cools, we will have to find a new field of work, and we will still be without what the other man has who is dictating our lives to us. Socialism, wages fixed by who? To limit us like slavery. To predict our economic strength. There are people who are now trying to establish the socialist concept here in America. In fact, they started many years ago encouraging everybody to go on fixed wages. But who is fixing the wages? It is not the African American. He is the one accepting fixed wages. Those who want to push this kind of life on us will say of me, oh, he's not a comrade. He's not one of us. He's not on a fixed salary. No, I am not their comrade. And if that is what they are talking about, my soul is against that. My soul still burns because of the fixed salary. During the days of slavery. During those days, we couldn't make any more than the master would allow us to make. The master fixed our wages. Then and today, we still want to punch a clock so he can decide how much he can earn. Why is this so? It is because he wants to tell the government how much every nigga is going to make for the rest of his life. If these people can get up to accept the regimented life, they will be able to predict what the strength of our race will be for the rest of our lives. But when we step forward and exercise our rights as Americans, just as they are doing, they cannot tell anybody where we are going to be in the future. They could no longer predict where we are going. I admire the Muslims who look for good investments, who want to be businessmen. They are the true Americans. The true Americans is not looking for a red band. This country was not built on socialists or communists. Socialists want to regiment the life of the masses. Why should we be the first ones to buy slavery? We just came out of slavery. If some others want to buy their social programs, the fixed salary, holding everybody down to some specific limit, let them do it. We still have not had our chance to enjoy wealth. We have not had a chance to dignify our people economically. We have not had a chance to prove ourselves in this economic system we call free enterprise. Why should we buy socialism or communism and we have not had freedom to prove that we can compete with the Irishman, the Italian, the Chinese, or the Korean? We have not had Italian. We have not had the chance to prove that we can compete with them in a free society. Today we have some opportunities as others, and we should not let anyone deny us the opportunity to do as they have done in this society. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, family has rights over believers. Prophet Muhammad is our original self. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, prophet closer believer than self. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 157, he came down with the light. John 3:13, heaven none ascended none unless came down. Bukhari, page 8, 246, Adam 60 cubit length, arm length. So Muhammad retained flesh purity, the mortal innocence. And Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, also had lived even without God really revealing anything to him for 40 years. And he had retained the flesh purity and mortal innocence that God created for all human beings. And therefore, God selected him from amongst his fellow citizens and selected him to be a messenger to all people. And then told him, I know that they will think that you are something above a human being too, because you are going to do marvelous things. Tell them I am a human, mortal, like you are. Anna basharun muslikum. Anna basharun muslikum. I am a human person, or human mortal, like all of you are. Slavery under God is your maximum freedom. And then they will tell, still not without a unanimous decision, there was many who didn't agree with their portrayal of Jesus Christ as God and man. I'm still talking about what I started out talking about, the human being in the excellent created form for your freedom and for your prosperity. So when Muhammad said, and none will rise or go up except on the pattern that he gave Adam, he is saying that you won't have prosperity. You won't have happiness. You won't have it until you conform to the pattern of life that God created for Adam. I got all of these notes, and I don't need any of them, because this has been my subject for over 50 years. Praise be to Allah. So the Bible says something similar. It says, no one has risen to heaven except him who was in heaven already. Al-Islam is the true freedom, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us to this true freedom by telling us that we were created to be his slaves. But a slave of God, if he is not a fanatic or a drunken drinking the wine of revelation and not understanding the plain teaching, if he's not confused, slavery under God is your maximum freedom. Slavery to your creator is your maximum freedom. It is the true freedom. It is the freedom your heart and your soul, God gave you once. And that is the true freedom. And look how a strategy revealed to a mortal amongst us in his human excellence before he got revelation broke the grip of slavery. God addresses all of us, Ibad of God. Ya Ibadullah. Here are all human beings, especially the man being called by God, being addressed by God as the slave of God, Balaam heard that, and he refused to go anymore being a slave of a man. He refused to obey his master, and his master tortured him to get him to conform and go back to his slavish behavior. He had before, and Balaam would rather die than to do that. He had lived for 40 years amongst false idols and false idol worshippers, and had retained a human model that God created for Adam. Let's follow that man and love him more than we love our families. Love him more than we love our own selves, because he is our original self par excellence. Muhammad is a complete man because he brought his community to the promised land. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, Muhammad closer to believers than own selves. Bukhari, page 113. Believers not until love profit most. Matthew 10:35-37, Jesus set family against itself. Connecting ourselves back to our father Adam, and not God. Adam is our father, God is our creator. And earning his acceptance of us so that we are united again in that great relationship with our original nature and our own selves, our life. What will help the Muslim follow and do what Prophet Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him did, and look at Imam W.D. Muhammad for an example. It is not mentioned because our own family members and the whole of mankind, because mother wasn't important back then in those days. Man cared more about his father and brother because they worked together and made money and fought together and got over on people. So he needed the man. His attachment was to his father and his brothers. That's why the mother wasn't mentioned, even the whole of mankind. Why? Because if you have what Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him is, that is a complete man. Even Abraham didn't live to see the promised land. Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was the man who brought his community to the promised land while he was living. So he is a complete man, and if you don't love that man who lived not selfishly but lives for the whole of humanity, then you don't have real love. Your love is not complete. And if you have a choice between him and your babies and your relatives and your family, you have to choose him and sacrifice the family. If you have a choice between the whole of mankind, all the people on earth, and him, you have to choose him and cut the whole world loose. Why? Because if you stay with him, you will bring the whole world back. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and from below.
You ready for me to eat?
Pointing firstly to its creator, but also pointing to other things in creation that are similar to us, to it, to have us understand the schemes of matter, the plane for matter, etc. But I also can use the language of the so-called modern secular world too, and it signifies me. Who was it? Einstein and many others. Einstein came up with the theory of relativity, and scientists in that field will say what? A Muslim, just any scientist, he will say yes, that is the truth, but it's relative. That's what he'll say, meaning that you have to see its relation with something else, with Earth, sun, because it couldn't get that without sunshine. It could get its growth without the Earth to give us the food, and really the sky gives food. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this before modern science, says that he feeds from above and also from below. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Now, science tells us that where there are rain and lightning and thunder, that nutrients are formed above in the sky by lightning and the charge of polarity, the field of electricity, the charges of it, and everything, those charges and others I didn't mention, form nutrients. And the water is not all water. I used to believe this until I read this. I was a grown man with a family and thought that the sky rained only water. If the sky rained only water, we wouldn't have the luxurious, plentiful, and beautiful harvests from our gardens and farms that we have. It rains also nutrients. Nutrients also form in the rain, and the raindrops come down with water and nutrients. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he feeds. If it's only water, he's not feeding, he's giving drink. Well, that's not feeding. Water is just giving drink for thirst. But if he got some material inside the water, he's giving food and drink. And that's what science says. I think I'm an imam, and I am because I love science. I love the material world. If we don't love what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala material world, and he made us, and he made us to benefit from the material world. If we don't love a relationship with that material world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to give us our material bodies and to engage our intelligence and thinking minds and studious minds, then we are missing what is number one to develop our intellect and to be a real good student, productive, creative. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and below. Now, Al-Islam wants to condition us for the work we have to do for our family and our neighborhood and our world. And how does it conditions us? It tells us that the things that are invisible, the things that are not seen, they are stronger than the visible, what you see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the sky. See how those bodies are held up there. And it seems as though there is nothing, no, not structures, supporting them. They are not supported by visible structures. There are planets up there. Jupiter, much bigger than the earth, much heavier than the earth. But we can go out and we can get a telescope sometimes maybe, and we can see it with our eyes if we know where to look for it. It is up there in space, suspended in space, and it seems as though nothing is holding it up. Now, we know something is holding it up when we learn science, astronomy, etc. We know what's holding it up. Science has identified what's holding it up. But for the human eye, we don't see anything holding it up. Imagine that. The earth that we are on right now, we could not know the size of it unless science has not discovered how to measure the size of the earth, how to know something about it. So we would know how to measure it. We would think it was endless. You don't see any end to the earth. You keep going and you think it's endless. Look how amazing God's creation is. We can't really know it with our common sense, with our common mind. Look at space. These are things God wants us to think about so that we will be conditioned to be successful in our life on earth. He wants us to have faith. So he created a world to signal to you things that tell your thoughts and excite your intellect, excite your mind, and make you want to ask questions. Why? How long? Where does it end? Where are we going? These are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and become thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful, so he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky, and he said, look at the sky. how he made it. Then he tells us that he feeds us not only from the earth, but he says he feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. So he said he made the earth to give you all that you need. That is what God says. He made it to be enough for you and your needs. But yet we have a lot of people starving, a lot of people saying, I don't have work. Was God wrong? No. God is right. The world is wrong. There should be nobody starving. There should be nobody who is able to work out of work. We had a congressman pushing for full employment, and we still should be pushing for full employment. There is no need for anyone who wants to work to be out of a job, and no need for anybody to be hungry. You hear about the war on poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God declared the first war on poverty when God told the Jews, the Christians, and us not to be comfortable while our brothers and sisters are suffering. That is the war on poverty. Many have too much, and many have nothing. That is not good. It is not God's fault. It is the world's fault that who are not listening to God and not obeying God, that we have these ugly things happening to us on this earth and these ugly conditions in our lives on this earth. Hunger, joblessness, because man ordered the world wrong. So these are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and become thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful, so he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky, and he said, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us that he feeds us not only from the earth, but he says he feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn nutrients. Nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. So we think only rain, but science has discovered that not only water is coming down from the sky, but nutrients are coming down from the sky, and that is the substance that is needed in the earth to make plants and food grow more and better. If it's for life, it is for life, to feed plant life. Not only water is coming down from heaven, food is coming down from heaven to grow your food better and to make it more abundant on this earth. So God revealed this long before science explained it, that he feeds you both from the heavens and from the skies and from the earth. The tree feeds from above, spirit, and below. Material. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayat 24, Allah feeds from above and below. Say, who gives you substance from the heavens and the earth? Say, it is Allah, and certainly it is that either we or ye are on right guidance or in manifest error. So this tree is feeding from above and from beneath. Above is symbolic of the spiritual need. It is feeding upon its spiritual life from what God created for it. And its material life rooted in the earth is feeding also from what God provided for it. So the roots are not just feeding on material things, but the roots need spirit too. It is feeding upon what and breathing air too. If it can't get oxygen, it will die. Not just trees, even small plants. If their roots can't get oxygen, they will die. So the Quran, Surah 34, Ayat 24, Allah feeds from above and below. The Quran, Surah 57, Ayat 25, I am sent down. God says to us in the Quran that he is the one who provides for us from the earth and from the sky. He gives our substance, I am using the language of the translator, provided both from the earth and from the sky. From the earth, what is that? To save a lot of time, I'm not going to give a lot of quotes. I'm going to deal straight to the purpose. What is the earth? Appetite. So God gives us whatever we need for our earthly appetite. Food, clothing, shelter, comfort of this reality, etc. But he has also given us from the sky what comes from the sky. Rain, it is symbolic of revelation sometimes. So rain comes from the lower skies and we know other things. Sometimes the sky will rain down material objects. And sometimes we find after the object has burned cooled down and it is safe to go and pick it up or pick up with our hands, precious metals comes down from the sky. So he also gave us material from the sky too, not just water or spiritual. So this is why he said God sends down iron. So this is in the Quran. You who read, you know that. It is metaphor or a symbolic language that has to be understood. But it is also true in common language. So we know there has been objects that fell to the earth from the sky, and they find there was iron, metal in those objects. It has been heated up to fire falling through the atmosphere and cooled off. And there was iron left there in those holes that the meteor, when it fell down into the earth. So we know this is literally true too. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran is true to your mind. That is uneducated and true to the mind educated. So in the language of revelation, it has to be true in both. So if God says he is going to give you pure virgins, he means that the pure ones will get pure virgins. You probably can't handle 72 of them, but it says 72. Now, that is the part you need interpretation, interpreted, but not the virgins. So you're going to get some virgins down here. It says that the virgin man is worthy of the virgin woman, and the virgin woman is worthy of the virgin man. But we know on this sensual level, that's the cheapest reward. The more expensive reward is on the level of the translation and interpretation. Hereafter is more valuable, more precious, both in quantity and in quality. This is God's word in Quran. Sky, Allah gives us perception. So he's going to give us from the sky. Will it be these metals that fall from the sky? No. What is he going to give us from the sky? To govern our appetite. He's going to fulfill our appetite from the earth to survive our appetite. Don't you know man has to survive his own appetite? His appetite will kill him. And the appetite will get him killed. Both because if he wants what I have, I might kill him. You know that many of you, if he wants without bothering me, he might kill himself, consuming too much or consuming the wrong thing. So it is not talking about the earth gives or fulfill that our appetite. What is he going to give us from the sky? Perception. You students, please write that down. The clear perception that will free the life down on earth is the perception that we get from the sky. The Arab quote says, the night has 1,000 eyes and the day but one. One talking about the sun and the 1,000 is talking about the stars. Actually, we know it's more than 1,000, but he said that just to make a picture, comparison. So the night has eyes, meaning that the night has light. And when you understand those lights, it will open your eyes to a bigger reality. So it is the heavens that opens our eyes to a bigger reality. We will never know this system of matter unless we study the sky. And you can't see the sky until the sun has gone. The sun set and darkness prevails. And then we can see on a clear night when there are not clouds in the lower heaven. We can see a big space up there. That's right. That's right. Always tells us that space is much bigger than our space down here. Any common person knows that. And so many like, the farther you look, the deeper you go, you still see signs of more light. Behind those lights, they invent the telescope and it reveals many lights that we couldn't see or reach with our eyes. They made the telescope powerful enough to see beyond what we can see. And even the telescope reaches its end. And it is just like the eyes. See, there are more lights behind the light that it can see too well. So we know that we cannot reach the end of the light. So we can't reach the end of space. Man has progressed to this degree. He has progressed in science, technology, but he cannot give anybody on earth a map of the universe because he is steadily turning his glass to see further and further away. And every time he gets a high-powered glass to see further away, he is seeing more stars. He doesn't know. And the end of it, so he can't give us a map of this reality. He can't give us a map of the creation itself. Some of you want to see the end of God, to see where God starts and stops. First, see where his world starts and stops. Then you are living in. You can't see that. And none of your highest scientists can see that. The United States can't see it, can't see that. It can't give us a map of the universe. It only can give us a map of what is known to them, to science so far. That is a reality that ought to humble you and stop you from asking disrespectful questions of God, disrespecting your God, asking stupid questions. Abraham is our second father. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 124, Abraham, an imam for the nation. From the heavens come perception. How are we to pinpoint? So this is so we know, in fact, what this is all about. The prophet Abraham is our second father. He is called second father because he earned it from God. God saw him in his constitution, in his mental makeup, in his mind, his thoughts, his interests, what his heart was interest in the God that loved him in that form and even called him a friend. And God gave him the title Imam for all nations, for all people. And according to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, God also established him as our second father when he reported it to his followers and to the world what he experienced on his ascent from the Kaaba up into the heavens and his night travel from the vicinity of Mecca to the Kaaba, to the ancient mosque, Al-Aqsa. He reported what he saw. When he was taken up, he saw Adam, our first father, on the first level. It is ascending up into the heavens. He greeted him and let us know how we are to recognize Adam. He said, peace be on you, my father Adam. Every other level he ascended to, he met the prophets. and he would greet them the same. But he would not say father. He said, my brother. So this is my brother until he reached the seventh heaven. And he met Abraham there, and he greeted him also father. He said, peace be on you, my father Abraham. So you will not find this in the Quran. This is given so that we will know that we are as followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. We are to recognize Jesus Christ, Adam, and all the others. And at the last, in the seventh highest heaven, Abraham. So we are to recognize and know that two of those are our fathers of mankind. The first one, the mortal Adam, and the last one, the intellect, Ibrahim, Allahu Akbar. How did the skies serve Abraham? Abraham was trying to find truth to free his heart and his soul and put his mind in a situation to grow as it would please him. The thinkers, we call them free thinkers in the history of the development of the world. The free thinkers is pondering or thinking on what he is observing in the real world. Everything in his environment, including himself, he is thinking, how did this come about? And what is the purpose of this? He wants understanding of his mind and his soul. Abraham, he left his own father because, no. Now, don't say he left his father too. This is nothing to do with little Wallace. We are talking about something bigger than Wallace right now. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1, Allah made angels with wings 2, 3, and 4 pairs. Allah created angels with wings in pairs 2, 3, and 4. Equal, these are the forces of nature, natural motivation, human drive, human sentiment, and human aspiration. But then put them together, and you have Jah, the basic principles of operating in nature. Who worship Jah? The disbelievers who won't accept that a divine being created this world. He won't accept anything but the forces of operation in nature, in the material world. Break fast. Iftar, fitra. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 1, the originator. Break fast, break, separate, plus fast, abstinence. So eggs is like nucleus. See core for regeneration. Let us look at this word break fast. To me, break fast, I would call it a quick break. Let us look at another word. It also means to abstain, to stay away from something. Break also means a separation. So the first meaning is the break followed by abstinence, abstaining from something. How can you connect that with religion? To stand in religion, you have to break from the ungodly world. And then after breaking from it, you have to resist it and keep away from influences. That is not too bad. Egg represents the nucleus of life, seed of life, that call for regeneration. Now, if you scramble that, man, how are you going to get the pattern back? Earth shine means you see God's word in everything. This is not foolishness. Both Bible and Quran says that the earth will one day shine with the glory of its Lord. So the church will shine. The congregation will shine. The land will shine. Everything is going to shine. Now, what does that mean? It means that the man has stolen the revealed knowledge and put it secretly everywhere. And it is coming a day when it is going to be exposed. And people are going to see it in everything. That is in all of their languages and all of their activities. They are going to see the imprint of the Word of God as a living proof that this world has nothing before it got God. before it got in touch with revelation. If I can explain to you the dining table and connect the thing you have there with religion, and connect your dress and connect that with it, go to your sports and connect that with it. If I can go to your sciences and connect that with it, if I can go to everything, even your mannerism, and connect that, with what we call divine revelation, then that's the established proof that first there was God and revelation. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1, the originator. Let's look at the word in Arabic for Torah. What letters are there? Are here, FTR. We put a feminine ending on it. Now we have fitura. What comes first? Nature. What is nature? Fitura. What is breakfast? Futura. Having the same basic letters. This fitura has the Arabic word in it. Nature, there is a chapter in the Quran called Al-Fatir. What does it mean? The originator. Can we understand God as the originator in the nature that was first made? If we say God is the originator, it is speaking to his role in bringing about creation for the first time. In its first state, Arabic works on basic letters, F, heavy, T, and F, and basic letters. So we can have nature, breakfast, and we can have originator from the same basic letters. Surah is the most common name for lunch or noon. Noon is talking about the spiritual life. Noon is talking about the spiritual life. Let's go now to lunch. I don't do this for anybody but my good friend. Lunch has different names, but the most common name is Surah. This word actually means noontime. We make salat, surah. So this is an English word, connects with a word that the Catholics pronounce it, none. It is pronounced noon. And what is it talking about? The same thing, a development in a certain aspect of human life. It is talking about the spiritual life, spiritual development. Noon is mythology, and none is the religion. I'm telling you, this connects again with noon. They pronounce this none. It's secret language. It is noon. So this is not only referring to a time of a day. It is pronounced noon, and this none should be pronounced noon, but it is not. So what does none mean? This none gets none of this world. They only want Jesus and the life to come. So this none gets none of this world. Do you think I'm joking? Tell the learned people in theology what I'm telling you, and you will see I'm not joking. When you see your face, when you start talking, you will know I must not have been joking. These people are serious. Surah means the back of an animal, Surah Arch. Sahira means it appears. Surah means noonday, noontime. They change it a bit, the same letters, and it becomes something else. You just put dots here and there. It becomes Sahira. It means back, but it means the back of an animal. So the part of the sun as it goes up from the horizon east up, at the top, that arch it makes like the back of an animal. It is called Fahira. Take another word. You just changed it a bit, Fahira. This means it appeared. Change it a little more, you say Yuthira. And it means it appeared at that time of day. The sun that the highest in the sky, the light is most profuse, broad, so the whole earth is given the maximum benefit of the light. If you want the maximum of the light, In the room, we raise the light higher so it can spread in a wider area. So this form of the verb is broadening the light. So what does it indicate? It indicates a time of intellectual abundance of knowledge. So the knowledge is really high and it spreads far and wide. Juma prayer at Thura time, the light is higher. Supper then, when the light is gone, last supper. That is why the Juma prayer is at that time, because it represents the time when the rising of the intellect or the rising of a cultural light, where the light is highest and it is spreading the furthest. So this is also the meal. What is the meal in this world? Supper. What time of day is that? When the light is gone, you make your own connection. I don't have to say anything behind that. This world has a last supper, the last supper at a time when the light is not to be seen. And I bear witness that they sure didn't show us any light in America. Sadaq Allahu Dabin, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means if it please God. We thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, as-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.